Oh, that guy's unbelievable. He said, so he was talking to Brandon as he was going out to kick. He gave a little warm-up swing, and he said, ah, looks like we're going to the AFC Championship, right before he went out there to kick it.
And welcome out, guys, to episode 3 of the Sports Hour podcast. Peyton Taylor alongside our usual cast, Toby, Garrett, Buzz, Grady, Chuck, and guys, lots to talk about, but main thing, maybe one of the greatest postseason football weekends we've ever had.
Oh, yeah, man, just a ton of really good football. You know, we always talk about the Chiefs and the Bills. You know, they play. I'm talking, dude, the freaking Rams and the Bucks. That was the game. Such a great game. Such a great game.
It was great to see Tom Brady finally go down in a divisional round. I mean, I'm not a hater, but I'm glad to see that the Rams pulled it out. They were my pick. Picked to win the Super Bowl, so it's always good to see your picks come out on top.
Everybody here said never bet against Brady. Besides Grady.
And me. And I was going to say, come on, give me some credit
and
now.
And Peyton. They bet against Brady.
I bet on Mahomes and bet against Brady, and that turned out pretty
Look,
good.
Look, and real quick, before we get to it, a complete congratulations to Mr. Charles Spencer. 0-4, divisional round. Everybody, round of applause. That's fantastic.
There we go. It is Fade Chuck season here, and it's just as hard to go 0-4 as it is 4-0.
But you made this happen somehow.
I made it happen.
Congratulations, Chuck. You can expect a date with the pool. But anyway, but we're going to move right into the division around our thoughts on it. And like I said, all four games, fantastic. We're going to start going in order of how they played. Cincinnati beats Tennessee 19-16. And this is a tough one to start out with for me, and I know for Chuck. But a great game. Burrow is that dude. Mm-hmm. Ja'Marr Chase is that dude. A.J. Brown is that dude. And just, it was a great game of football. A much more defensive game than I pictured it being. But regardless, Derrick Henry comes back, doesn't look like himself. Ryan Tannehill makes a ton of costly mistakes. And Burrow comes out with it despite being sacked 9 times. 9 times. That has to be close to a playoff record. I can't imagine many playoff teams are giving up 9 sacks.
You were talking about that dude. The Titans defensive line are those dudes. They're 9 sacks, that's got
to
be a...
Oh, I was talking to Grady and Toby earlier that Harold Landry, Bud Dupree, and Jeffrey Simmons rushing after the passer has to be one of the best pass rush combos in the NFL.
I think something also that was identified in this game that was also identified throughout the entire regular season was Ja'Marr Chase, and far beyond the other rookies, is the rookie of the year. This guy was far and beyond better than any other rookie in the league this year, and with 5 receptions, 109 yards for a 21.8 average during the game, I mean, he was a difference maker for the Bengals.
I know we can actually talk about how good the Titans' defensive line played, but you got to give all the respect in the world to Cincinnati's defensive line.
Yeah. Right.
They also had 7 sacks. Mm-hmm. Played good, you know, pressured to Ryan Tannehill the whole game. And, you know, I think really when you look at both defenses, I think they really decided they wanted to step up the defense in this game, and it really showed.
I know one thing a lot of us are going to want to talk about is Ryan Tannehill, and that's going to be something we want to talk about. But Buzz Garrett, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Buzz Garrett, y'all got any comments for
me? I was going to say, I'm personally a Steelers fan, but if I was a Titans fan, I would be sick. You look at the Titans roster. You have A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Derrick Henry, and that defensive front, and they're one piece away from possibly being the best team in the NFL. They need a quarterback badly.
Not even a good quarterback. I mean,
an average
quarterback. Tannehill, last game, threw 3 interceptions, 1 to start the game. But you already reeling. And then at the end of the game, throw 1 as he did with 30 seconds to go. And then we see Joe Burrow do what he did. But they're just one piece, like Buzz says, away from being a really good team.
They got to move off Tannehill.
And I think even, too, about the Bengals, their main piece is that offensive line. That offensive line got killed in that game. Every single time Joe Burrow dropped back, he was pressured. And they could not hold for maybe 2 seconds.
That magnifies the greatness of Joe Burrow, though.
I do agree with that. Joe Burrow played his heart out. I mean, he threw an interception. It was a big interception in the game. But, I mean, really, other than that, there was no mistakes that he made.
28 for 37 against we could all say, probably one of the greatest defenses in the NFL.
No doubt about it.
Can we agree that Joe Burrow is probably one of his top 10 quarterback in the league?
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Hey, don't steal my topic. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. No, but nice foreshadowing. 49ers-Packers. Guys, that's got to be the upset of the week, right? None of us picked the 49ers after almost none of us picked the 49ers a week ago besides Buzz.
Jimmy Garoppolo's passer rating was like 55. Didn't have an offensive touchdown, and they won the game in Lambeau Field. I mean, that's something to – to buy
the 40, and I was talking about it with my dad and my brother and a couple other friends. I texted them all in a group chat, and I said, "Here, you want to hear a little bit of a hot take early in the episode, not even 5 minutes in? Kyle Shanahan is a top two coach in the NFL, and he's not number two. Kyle Shanahan is the best coach in the NFL. I'm going to say that right now." Phone just goes off. That's fine. That's fine. But, I mean, you know, I think he won in spite of Jimmy Garoppolo, not with Jimmy Garoppolo. Takes a team that, you know, has playmakers, has one of the worst starters in the NFL, and goes on the road into the frigid confines of Lambeau and wins against all odds. I mean, that game, in 3 minutes left, you're thinking, okay, the Packers got this in the bag. No way the 49ers go score a touchdown, and yet somehow they find a way.
You know, we're talking about kind of a hot take right there. This is kind of a mild take, but I think we saw Aaron Rodgers' last game in Green Bay.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily even a mild take. I think, I mean, he could return, but
if he played a heck of a game. Aaron Rodgers, he did Aaron Rodgers things. But moral of the story is that frigid cold weather, they did not run the football very effectively and didn't really run it often. You would think, you know, kind of in a game where you're trying to knock them down, kind of dragging it out, they didn't run the football.
Another thing, too, is any receiver that the Packers had that's not named Devontae Adams, they only had 6 total reception yards in that entire game.
Except for one Mr. Aaron Jones, a running back, of course.
Exactly.
9 receptions, 129 yards. He stepped up for that team receiving the ball because besides Devontae, like I said, nobody could get open against the San Francisco secondary.
Another dude that's on the 49ers defense, Nick Bosa, is a man. Okay. Not a man child. He is a man. He's pushing around grown men 2 or 3 times his size and getting to the quarterback almost every other play.
I think there's a team in Nashville that could use Aaron Rodgers' services.
There's 32 teams in the NFL that can use Aaron Rodgers' services.
Unless it's the Bengals.
Los Angeles and Tampa Bay. And, guys, I thought we had seen 28-3 again. I thought Brady was going to go down after Akers fumbled late in the fourth. I thought Brady goes scores. We got overtime. He gets the ball first, and the Rams don't touch it again. And that's all she wrote. But Cooper Kupp, with the play of the Rams season, getting open deep into the secondary, Matt Stafford throws a beautiful ball, and they end up kicking it and advancing onto the NFC Championship. And what a game that was.
The MVP of the NFL this year, in my personal opinion, Cooper Kupp is the savior for the Rams season. In every essence of the word, the reception leader of the year, the reception yards, and the reception touchdowns. He had the triple crown as a wide receiver. A guy that came out of Eastern Washington with no offers and 0 stars is a star on Los Angeles' football team. I mean, Cooper Kupp is a winner in every essence of the word.
9 receptions, 183 yards, and a touchdown. He accounted, I believe, for exactly half of the Rams passing.
And I've often talked about how, guys, how do you respond to adversity? He went and fumbled that ball. That gave Tampa Bay the ball back. Then he goes and gets 2 receptions at the end of the game that gets him in a full goal range to win the game. I mean, the guy's a winner in every essence of the word, like I said.
Yeah, not trying to take anything away from the Rams, but they're going to clean up turnovers for next week. They're lucky they had a really big lead, and it nearly cost them anyways. And you have to sort of worry about Cam Akers. He was hurt all year. He's coming back, and he did not look very good Sunday. He had a really big fumble at the end of the first half on the 1-yard line that could have extended the lead. And he fumbled again in the fourth quarter, which is concerning for Rams.
Looked really good a week ago, and then against the Bucs does not look great. 4 turnovers, like you said, that's going to be problematic. And I know some of us had talked about, on the other hand, the Bucs. And that's why I mentioned it. Everybody was saying, don't bet against Tom Brady. And I said, I'm not betting against Tom Brady. I'm betting against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because they were not healthy in any sense of the word. And I think that showed. They did not have many offensive threats on the field besides number 12.
I'm not one to like be a conspiracy theorist about the NFL. But as those fumbles started happening late in the game, I was trying to think, like, you know, maybe there's some cooking here.
You put your tinfoil hat on.
Yeah, this is Tom Brady, most likely his last season. If he does retire, it's one heck of a career. But, you know, it's like, you know, go out on top kind of thing. And I was like, well, maybe they were doing it. But I'm glad the Rams won, but I also, you know, maybe wanted to see Tom Brady last time.
It did kind of look like when I was younger, like, 7, 8 years old, and I was losing at Madden, and I cut the other controller on, went to the other team, trying to get the game back.
If one person is going to fumble, I am glad it's Cam Akers.
Oh, man. But, yeah.
If he came to Ole Miss, he wasn't fumbling that ball.
That's true.
final game, Kansas City and Buffalo, and I almost don't want to talk about this one because I'm afraid it would ruin the perfection that was that game. Through 60 minutes, I'm going to go on a big rant in just a minute. Do y'all want me to do it now, or do you want me to wait just a few minutes?
Go ahead, spill.
The NFL has to change the overtime period. If you are Sean McDermott, if you are anybody from the Player Association associated with the Bills, you are locking everybody in the room in spring meetings and saying, we're changing this rule today. We're not leaving
until it's very easy to me. Throw 10 minutes on the clock and just play. Why can't they do that? I mean, it's very easy to fix. What's the problem with that?
You can't tell me that Josh Allen throws 4 touchdowns, is unstoppable in the fourth quarter, plays a phenomenal football game, and then he doesn't even get a chance to touch it because of a coin toss.
The player of the game, to me, was the coin. Whatever side the coin
the landed. Player of the game was, the Bills player that wrongly picked the coin toss.
Yeah, that's it. And they didn't get it, and he's going to march down the score. If the Bills would have got it first, they would have won. I mean, either way it went was going to win. Either offense at that time was not going to be.
Saw a stat that was – since the overtime rules have been changed, almost 90% of the wins in overtime have been by the team that won the coin toss. 70% of those wins came on an opening drive touchdown.
Mina Kim said it was 10-1 the team that got the coin toss.
I believe it.
And I think one reason why the Chiefs won is a stat I kind of like, is that, you know, rushing yards. Patrick Mahomes was 69 rushing yards to Josh Allen's 68 rushing yards. So, I mean, that's why the Chiefs won.
Nice. but the main thing I think we were talking about a little bit earlier, too, and I want to move on to our next segment because it's going to kind of recap all of this a little bit more. Bills need to find a running back, like a solidified number one running back before next season. Singletary is serviceable, but they really struggle in the rushing game at times if it's not Josh Allen.
When I make this statement, and I believe it's true, Josh Allen is one extra threat away and a running back away from being the best team in the AFC.
Devin Singletary, 10 carries, 26 yards on Sunday. That's not going to do the job in a playoff game.
He looked really good the opening drive, but after that just would get stuffed. Like that first drive, I had him on my daily fantasy team, and I thought he was about to have a day, but ended up – just not working out for him.
I mean, Gabriel Davis with 4 touchdown catches.
Unbelievable game.
He just kind of woke up in that game.
He did.
Unbelievable game. Just an unbelievable game on both sides.
Patrick Mahomes, man, it's just – he's so good. I had the pleasure – I rewatched it with you guys just a second ago, watch the highlights of it. And I was just watching some of Patrick Mahomes just moving around the pocket. He's just – like drooling how good he looked.
Josh Allen was running over safeties in the secondary. Man, 6'7", running like a – 6'6".
We'll talk about Josh Allen, how I feel about it.
And here we go. Let's move into the next segment because we're going to talk about Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes a little bit more. This is something we had talked about doing a little bit. Name's a work in progress. I know it's bad right now, but for right now, we're going to call this hot take or valid. I've been, with a little bit of my influence as well as the host, also looking across the internet what I've seen people talking about. I've shaped 5 different opinions, some of which are, like I said, somewhat my opinions, some are the internet's opinions, including number 5. I want to say that's the one I got from the internet. That is not my opinion, okay? It was a doozy, number 5. But let's hear the first of the 5. Number 1, Joe Burrow is a top 5 quarterback in the league. Chuck, will go clockwise.
Valid.
It is largely valid.
That's a hot take. I don't agree with it.
Wow, hot take. Who are you listed as 5 ahead of him? Because I feel like if you're going to say that's a hot take,
okay,
then you have to be able to, off the top of your head, list 5 quarterbacks.
Okay, well, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Matthew Stafford, Lamar Jackson, and there's one more.
Lamar Jackson's running
you
back.
You could say Brady, but he might retire. But I would take those 5 Aaron any day over Joe Burrow.
I'm shot by Matthew Stafford, I got to be honest.
He's been elite his whole career. He's just now in a good team.
Okay, but hot take or valid, Garrett?
That's valid, yeah.
You think it's valid?
One of the best quarterbacks in the league.
I'm going to one up that hot take. He's top 3.
Wow. I like that. Okay. That's hot. I'm going to say that's not valid in my opinion, but I'm going to say, yeah, Joe Burrow, I think with these playoffs and also how he played the back stretch of the season, if he's not top 5, he's number 6, but I would probably have him number 5.
The reason I say Lamar over Joe Burrow, the Ravens were the number 1 seed in the AFC until Lamar got hurt.
That's
and
true.
He was having a really good year, and he's had an MVP. If Burrow has the MVP next year, you could put him over Lamar. But right now, from what I've seen, I still got Lamar over Joe.
Joe Burrow has more playoff wins, respectfully.
The thing, too, is, like, they want to talk about how Aaron Rodgers is the MVP of the NFL this year. Joe Burrow has as many stats as Aaron Rodgers does, and then Tom Brady does too. So there's three quarterbacks that are all intertwined with really good stats. That's why I put Cooper Kupp ahead of all them guys as MVP of the league.
Number two, the Titans championship window has closed. Hot take or valid, Chuck?
Hot take.
Hot take. You think so?
That's a hot take.
That's a hot take. They're just a quarterback away. Just a quarterback away.
Hot take.
I think it's a hot take. I agree. They're a quarterback away. That defense is really good. I mean, defense wins championships.
They're young and talented.
Let me say, hot take. It's not closed, it's quickly closing.
It is closing.
You're not necessarily because of age, but you do have Julio Jones, who was hurt most of the year. He's now hurt most of the time. You only get him for a limited amount of snaps each season. You know that at this point. You're getting to the point now where you're worrying about, okay, how are we going to pay Jeffrey Simmons, Bud Dupree, A.J. Brown, Harold Landry, Derrick Henry again in a few years. You locked him up for a few years. Kevin Byard, Christian Fulton's going to be coming up a few years. He had a really good year. You're coming up now, not necessarily age. How are you going to pay these guys? And there's eventually going to be some losses you're going to have to cut. AJ and Jeffrey, in my opinion, are untouchable. You've got to sign them back without a doubt. But then you're losing other guys that are key components. So it's not closed, but it's closing very quickly. I would say so. All right, number three. Jimmy G has made the 49ers quarterback situation next year a tough call. Because most people consider next year Jimmy G's gone, Trey Lance is in starting, and now, even though he has not been very good, led his team to the NFC Championship. Chuck?
Hot take. He's going to be like a Stetson Bennett was this year if he's a key component. Trey Lance is going to come in and then maybe gets his job taken, but it's day one, first game, Trey Lance is starting.
I think it's valid because I feel like this is going to be one of the craziest off seasons just for quarterbacks in a long time. I think Aaron Rodgers, Garoppolo, I think Tom Brady's going to retire. That's another hot take. I think he will retire. I think this postseason or after the season with quarterbacks, it'll be a monkey in a sack, per se.
Yeah, I think that's valid. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, he's just a winner. He just wins games, and you can't move off a guy that just wins.
Hot take.
I think it's kind of like a mild take, but also could be hot take. I think Jimmy G will start the season, but he's only going to go 5-6 games, and I think they're going to shop. Like, as the trade deadline comes on, they're going to shop Jimmy G and start Trey Lance.
Hot take, unless Jimmy G wins the Super Bowl. That's what I'm going to say. I don't think unless Jimmy G wins the Super Bowl, because, yes, he is a winner, but, man, has he been pretty bad, especially on Saturday. He was really bad.
I was going to say this. These past 2 weeks, they were really lucky against the Cowboys. They were even more luckier against the Pack. I think their luck runs out this week, and then it'll explode from there, I believe.
Like, just imagine what the 49ers could do this year if they had somebody like Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And they also could look and say that maybe Trey Lance isn't the guy, and they could look quarterback in the offseason.
By the way, Debo Samuel, we didn't mention him earlier when we were talking about that dude. Debo Samuel is that dude. Number four, here's what we're getting a little bit hotter. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are the league's two best quarterbacks right now.
Valid.
How is it not valid? Who are the other two?
I think you could argue Aaron Rodgers for one. And then, obviously, until he retires, I think Brady's going to have his name in the conversation.
I think that the next Brady, the next Rodgers, but I think they're already there. I think they've taken that mantle.
It's valid.
Yeah. They're the two best young quarterbacks in the league.
But
the two best quarterbacks in the
league. Who do you think the two best
are? Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady are the best quarterbacks in the league.
I think it's they got it half right. I think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. Aaron Rodgers is number two. Josh Allen, you could say 3, 4, 5.
I'm gonna say the same thing. I'm gonna say Mahomes is one or two alongside Rodgers. Josh Allen is three. He's the firm three in my opinion. But that's not very hot. But in this one's a doozy. I found this today and I had to put it in here. Number five, I'm going to laugh the whole way through this. Aaron Rodgers' legacy has taken a huge hit after Saturday's loss, and Eli Manning is a more solid Hall of Fame candidate. I saw that, and I saw people agreeing with that take.
That sounds like an Ole Miss person.
Right? I'm going to be completely honest. I don't see the laughter. Eli Manning is the GOAT. He's beat Brady the GOAT.
But you're saying that you think – and Eli is my favorite player of all time. Let me preface it. But you think that Eli is a more surefire Hall of Famer than Aaron Rodgers.
No. I think ever since Eli Manning stepped on the field, he's been better than any quarterback that's ever stepped on the field before. He is the best of all time.
That's Homer.
You hear that, Arch?
Man's recruiting.
It's valid, and we're going to go off the championship thing, 2-1.
Wow.
I would say valid because of the championships. But
this is not going the way I thought it would.
Yeah, I'm saying valid. It's a hot take. That's
why?
Just because. Look at the stats.
What stats? He's won 2 championships and Roger only won 1.
That doesn't matter.
It is an extremely hot take. It is like on fire hot. Look, I love Eli Manning. He's my favorite player of all time. I do agree with that. Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the league. And this is why I say it's a hot take. Eli does have 2 championships. Eli Manning was a good quarterback. He was a good serviceable quarterback. Eli Manning got carried in both Super Bowl runs.
That's cap.
There was multiple drives in both Super Bowls where if 1 or 2 catches.
All right, we're all talking over each other. Look, 2007, Eli was good, but maybe not as good. You know, that defense came on fire. Don't give me the 2011 bullcrap. That defense was ranked 31st in the league, and Eli had one of the greatest postseason runs ever.
I'm not taking away from Eli. I love Eli. I'm a Giants fan. Of course I love Eli.
But you just set me off when you said he got carried in both Super Bowls. Eli did not get carried in both Super Bowls. The first one, he played good but not great. Maybe that defense was legit in 2007. They went crazy. 11, he carried that team too.
And he was legitimately the kryptonite to the greatest football
player. I'm not taking away either. Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer, but Aaron Rodgers is in before.
No, and that's what I'm saying. I want to say my thing. The first part I agree with, honestly. I think Aaron Rodgers' legacy after Saturday has taken a massive hit. I think now we're going to remember him kind of like we remember Favre. He was an unbelievable quarterback, but he struggled to win. You know, he struggled to win in the big games. 1-1, and obviously that's a lot more than a lot of people say. But besides that one, Rodgers has had multiple opportunities, whether they're the favorite or they're in the NFC Championship, and he's let it slip away. At home on Saturday against 49ers team, that's good, but didn't score an offense touchdown, there's no excuse. You don't lose that ball game.
Right.
And I think you can rebuttal against this too, is I think Aaron Rodgers is going to do a route like Stafford's done. Like how, you know, you went to a team that's kind of built and they're a quarterback away. And I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have that path.
But the Packers were a quarterback away. No, they weren't even a quarterback away. They were the betting odds favorite. That's not going to a team. That's not going away from a team that's a piece away. That's you were on a team that was built ready to go to the Super Bowl and you choked at home.
He seemed very uninterested. After the game, you look at him, there was no emotion on his face. I think the whole year he's been outside looking into the Packers. I feel like he's been ready to get out since the whole like Pat McAfee podcast. He was like the immunization stuff, the vaccine stuff. I feel like all that has clouded his mind. I feel like football and the Packers have been in the back of his mind the whole year.
But now let me say this also. Going back to the tape, I think Eli and Aaron Rodgers are both Hall of Famers. I do want first ballot.
Oh, yeah,
my criteria, you hear the argument, especially about Eli. My criteria has always been with the Hall of Fame. Can you tell, if you were to tell somebody the history of the NFL, could you tell it without this player? You can't tell it without Aaron Rodgers or Eli Manning.
Well, I think you could tell it without Aaron Rodgers before you can without Eli Manning.
Well, you also look, Eli Manning, I love Eli, but the back 3-4 years of his career was not very good.
No, but he was also on one of the worst teams.
That is true, but still terrible. You would think now that maybe Eli's, you know, forte and resume would look better if he were retired 3-4 years sooner.
Oh, yeah. No, I think you're right.
That's a big man, too.
You know, Aaron Rodgers right now is still playing at an elite level. Did Eli play elite level toward the end of his career? He did not.
I think he did for, like, the last 2 years. Maybe not elite, but good.
It was awful, I think, his last year. His
really bad. Yeah, but, again, worst offensive line of football for maybe the last 3 years of his career.
The worst team. I mean, he had OBJ, and that was it.
All right, so let's move on now to the conference championship picks because we need to move off the NFL soon because we've got a lot to do. Here is the standings for our quarters pool challenge. Grady is in the lead at 8-2. Peyton, I am at 7-3. Buzz is at 6-4. Toby is at 5-5. And Garrett is at 4-6. Chuck is picking with us, but he did not get his bracket in time. We didn't know his wild card picks, so we couldn't put him alongside it.
I don't know.
Garrett is in last, but only by one game. Right now, unless Grady's safe. Grady's not jumping in that pool. He literally can't. He, even if he lost the last three picks, he still has one less loss than Garrett. So you were safe. Congrats, Grady. I, unless I go 0-3, am safe. It's really down to Buzz, Toby, and Garrett. So one of y'all better have your trunks ready.
Or no, you can go birthday suit. If
you're I'm going naked.
We can't put that on the ground.
Well, it's not going on the ground.
No, it is, it is going on the ground.
It's going on all social media.
It's going on all our social media. By the way, if you haven't followed, that is at Sports Hour Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Now, let's move to our conference championship picks. We'll start in the NFC. 49ers and Rams. The Rams are a 3.5-point favorite. Chuck, let's start with you.
49ers. I wanted to go with the Rams, but I'm fading myself this week. Anything I think, I'm going the opposite. So, 49ers.
Rams by 2 touchdowns.
I'm going 49ers.
I'm going 49ers. They're a hot team right now.
Oh, man, I want to pick the 49ers so bad, but I think the luck does run out. Give me the Rams. I think it's going to be a close game, a close game.
It's going to be 2 weeks in SoFi.
It won't be a blowout. It'll be a close game.
The old mantra, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me twice, fade me like Chuck. I'm picking the Rams. I think the Rams are – look, and the 49ers beat the Rams to get into the playoffs in Week 17.
Mickey Mouse.
At Los Angeles, I don't think the Rams let that happen again. I think they found their rhythm. They looked great on Saturday for the first three quarters. If they can just put together 15 more good minutes of football, then I think they're going to be – they might be able to take down the Chiefs in the Super Bowl or the Bengals, whichever team makes it there. I'm going to go Rams.
It's so odd moving into the next topic, too, because those teams played in Week 17, too.
And yes, the yes they did. Yeah. It's funny. Both these teams played in the final week of the season. Yeah. Bengals and Chiefs. Kansas City is a 7-point favorite. Okay, Chuck has requested we go on the other side first, so let's go to Toby.
No, we're going to me. Okay. Chiefs-Bengals, this is a game like I'm really excited for. I want to see Joe Burrow against that Chiefs defense. But I want to see Patrick Mahomes against that Bengals defense. And I really want to see how good he plays. Give me Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Patrick Mahomes. I like Joe Burrow, but Patrick Mahomes, he's that dude.
Chiefs by 2 touchdowns.
The key to this game is the defensive tackle for the Chiefs and Chris Jones. If he has a game like Simmons does, then the Chiefs have beat him by 3 touchdowns. So I'm going Chiefs.
I picked the Bengals originally in my bracket. Then last week I switched to the Titans off the emotion. Everybody picking the Bengals. I didn't think that was going to happen. I'm going with Joe Burrow. I'm going with the Bengals. I think they pull off the upset. I think they, like you said the Rams or the 49ers. I think the Bengals are the hottest team in football. I'm riding with Joe Burrow and the Bengals to pull off the upset.
You know, the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. It's hard to bet against them. Is the game at Arrowhead?
Yes, it's at Arrowhead.
That's an environment it's hard to beat. Chris Jones is from Houston, Mississippi, my hometown school. Went to Mississippi State. I don't want to talk about that, though. But despite all that, I'm going with the Bengals. Joey B.
Let's go. So we got two with the Bengals. Me and Chuck are together again. That didn't go well last time. But, hey, we're picking the team that beat us last time.
That's
so.
Right.
I think this is setting up, though, to be a super, super fun Super Bowl.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Whichever way you look at it, it's going to be – I can even say hot take it would be one of the best Super Bowls of all time.
It's going to be different. It's going to be different.
It's just, you know, different teams.
It's somebody new. It's not Tom Brady. And I think we can all be thankful.
It's not Tom Brady. I wish it wouldn't be Patrick Mahomes either. That's why I want it to be Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow versus 49ers?
I mean, the best players.
I want Bengals Rams. That's what
rebuttal
I want.
Rebuttal that. I want Bengals Rams. Rebuttal that. The best player goes to the best game. So, I mean, that's why I'm saying I'm glad Patrick Mahomes may be going. So.
That's why Cooper Kupp needs to go. He's the best player in the
field. Let's move on to our next topic. We move back into the college ranks. And, you know, last week we started with the men. Let's start with the women. I think they have absolutely earned it. Ole Miss women ranked for the first time since January of 2007. Beat number 24 Kentucky on Wednesday pretty handily. A game I thought was not as close as the final score indicated. And now they're ranked and they come up on maybe the biggest game in Coach Yo's career on Thursday against South Carolina.
That was like a perfectly gift-wrapped game against the number one team in the country at their place. So no better way to prove themselves in a game than playing the number one team in the country.
Is it at?
It's at Columbia.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that sucks. I wish it was at.
That atmosphere would be unbelievable.
If it was at the Pavilion, we would definitely all go because that's going to be an electric
place. The following
place.
Monday, they play LSU at home. LSU's number 11 in the country, so I will be in the Pavilion at night.
Play Georgia on Sunday.
Yes.
They've got three back-to-back-to-back ranked matchups coming up. If Coach Yo can go even 2-1 in this stretch, let's not even mention 3-0, then Ole Miss is set up to be ranked not just in 24, maybe top 15.
I feel like they still like are disrespected, though. They're 17-2, and they're just number 24. I still feel like that's a slight. So, I mean, like you said, though, they get a chance to prove themselves this week.
Coach Yo is the realest for show.
He's been waiting on that.
Can we talk about this? Is a program that went 0-16 just a couple years ago in SEC play, and Coach Yo has already turned the and not to sound cynical at all, I just say let's not give all the credit to Coach Yo as well. Shakira Austin, Danae Johnson, other players like that have been huge for the Lady Rebels turning this around. Just unbelievable job by Coach Yo. One of the better coaching jobs in the country.
Keith Carter, hand Coach Yo a blank check and sign it.
No doubt about it. Because I it's like we talked about last week. I remember hearing back to the days about when Ole Miss women's basketball was the show in town. If Coach Yo continues to build what she is building, you know where Mississippi State was a few years ago? Ole Miss can be at that level where we're packing out the pavilion for women's games.
And the last time in 2007 we were a ranked team, we went to the Elite Eight. So, I mean, we're not a program to where, oh, this is a first-time thing. We can go back and redo this with a great team, great group of players, and a great coach.
I think if we continue strong and finish out this season, I really could see this Ole Miss team going all the way, at least to the Final Four. But I'm really excited for Sunday. Get to watch them. You know, Georgia's a big team coming in. I want to see how Coach Yo can adapt at the Pavilion to see if, you know, get a top 15 team. Can she adapt, and can we come out with her with a big win?
We know the big win against South Carolina first, though. That would be a humongous win for
the
program.
Would you say what's the bigger win? Beat South Carolina and lose the other two, or win the two and lose to South Carolina?
That's tough.
Yeah. That's tough. For me, as a basketball person, I say beat the number one team and possibly lose the other two. I think that's bigger to me.
I think you're right, Eric, because you heard it. And I was reading what Coach Yo said earlier about the rankings. She said, if you want to be the best, you've got to beat the best. And South Carolina is 29 of 30 first place votes. They are the best. And the Rebels get that chance on Thursday. By the way, that game has been flexed to national television on ESPN.
Night, right. And today they played Vanderbilt, who is 10-10, and they're 18-1. But South Carolina beat Vanderbilt 85-30.
So. And this is and remember, this is, you know, South Carolina is an unbelievable basketball team. This is a team that Mississippi State, with only, I believe, 8 available players due to COVID earlier this season, took them to the edge in Columbia. This is not an unstoppable South Carolina team. Ole Miss has every chance in the world to go on the road if Shakira Austin can continue doing what she's doing and go upset the top team in the country.
She's special.
She is.
Why not us?
Missouri beat South Carolina in overtime. That's their only loss of the year. Mm-hmm. 70-69.
Speaking of, want to mention a little bit of other women's news. SEC's leading scorer, Rakia Jackson from Mississippi State, entered the transfer portal today. And that's...
Come to the SIP
is what we mean.
If we keep going, if they keep going the way they're going, they're going to get top recruits.
Mm-hmm. And Coach Yo's already recruited well. Yeah, Shakira Austin was one of the top recruits, if I remember correctly.
I think she's a 5-star.
And we've got a McDonald's All-American. We've got a Gatorade Player of the Year. We've got 3 players that are legit national players that can play on any level you put them at.
I think Coach Yo is coaching this team correctly. She's coached them. Just go out there and have fun.
She's play ball. She has built. She's built a culture, and that's what you have to do as a coach. First, you have to, before you win or lose games, you have to build a winning culture, and I think that's what Coach Yo has done.
And she has a great support staff.
And what's crazy too is she's done this without anybody knowing it. Nobody on campus has really known about the girls' basketball team until this year. They lost to that first game to Belmont, and we sort of wrote them off again. They strung out 13, 14, 15 wins in a row. I mean, these girls are coming to play.
I mean, she's definitely rebuilding the atmosphere because, you know, she's got, like, 6 guys in here talking about women's basketball.
Right.
And, you know, that's not really her.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And not just talking about, I mean, excited. Yeah, I've been excited to watch Ole Miss women's basketball this year.
Bring us a national championship. Bring us a natty.
6 guys are pulling up to the pavilion this coming Monday to watch us play LSU. We're going to rip it like any other sport. Like, Ole Miss football, we're there. We're going to be there for Ole Miss women's basketball.
Do what the Bulldogs cannot do and bring the women's national championship back. Sheesh. Well, okay. Now, speaking of, you know, wanting to move of Ole Miss Mississippi State banter, now we move to men's basketball. Had 2 games, 1 tonight, 1 on Saturday, that we've talked about since last week's loss to Missouri. Lost a tough game to Mississippi State on Saturday, 78-60, a game that Ole Miss was in until State, I believe, went on close to
halftime.
I believe State came out on close to around like a 21-2 run. It was a massive run that gave the Bulldogs a win. But then tonight, got on track and beat a pretty good Florida team, 70-54 at home. Ended a four-game losing skid for the Rebels. Coach Davis needed that win badly.
It's going to be interesting to see how they come out against Arkansas too Wednesday. I mean, we're talking about tonight's win. I mean, it's a good bounce-back win. Deshaun Ruffin had his career high, 21 points tonight, which is really, really good, which we need him to get going right now because we need a guy to lead us. But it's good to see that tonight, but I'm eager to see what happens against a top of the SEC-caliber team in Arkansas.
I think speaking on that, you know, one name to talk about is Matthew Morrell. Basically played the entire game, 37 minutes. And he finally woke up, had a really great game. And I think really tonight we saw that – we saw a team that Ole Miss is trying to build, that they go out there and just play ball. It's none of this, you know, let's try to just work out this team, run a million different plays. Let's come out here and play and get a win.
Yeah.
And I think we finally saw that Ole Miss has the talent that we can go out there and get a big win.
Right.
I want to say Coach Davis coached really well tonight. He called the right plays. We were hitting our shots. And I just want to give it to Coach Davis. He called some good plays and the good times.
We move on to Arkansas at Wednesday. They are a 64% favorite, according to ESPN, to win the game. And then Kansas State in the Big 12 SEC Challenge on Saturday here at home. A three-game homestand coming up for the Rebels. Kansas State a 54% favorite, according to ESPN,
Kansas
to win
State
that
is,
one.
They're very good.
They're very sneaky,
very
despite their
10-8
record.
They almost beat Kansas not too long ago, and I watched that game, and they got some dudes on there that can play.
Kansas State only 10-8, but their record is deceiving. They play in the best conference in the nation.
Yeah, that's a tough conference. Play basketball, man.
You know, if you're Coach Davis and the Rebels, you know, you got the win. You got a little bit of momentum now under your belt after a tough SEC losing streak. Now you look at it and you say, if I'm Coach Davis, you know, guys, almost nobody is expecting us to go on a winning streak. Nobody's expecting us to beat Arkansas, really. You know, Kansas State plays in a great league. Most people are going to be picking Kansas State. Go out, you play loose. You don't, at this point, you have nothing to lose pretty much in the season. Obviously, you can still string something along, but you've taken enough losses now to where it's a tough situation to try to, you know, get yourself back in bubble conversations. So just go out and play loose. Play like you did tonight. The Rebels looked a lot more loose and, you know, look like they were just more ready to play tonight.
I think it's just hitting shots. We couldn't hit shots against State. I mean, it's hard to beat a team when you're shooting 40-something percent from the three and shooting 30-something percent from the field. When they're shooting 60 from both, it's real hard.
Now, I'd like to see how Coach Davis is going to coach him up and say, how can we string something together? How can we keep that momentum in the locker room at practice that, you know, you're striving to win? Speaking of that, you know, you have nothing to lose but everything to gain.
Right.
This season is still salvageable in recruiting standards and maybe a possible at a bubble, you know, trying to get in.
Play with reckless abandon, man. Play with house money. Play like you have nothing to lose.
I know fans like to look ahead to the next week, and that's all right, but as somebody who's played most of us in here, I'm assuming, has played sports, but like the best way to come out of a slump or anything or just be elite is 1-0 every day.
Right.
Just come in 1-0, fresh it, good game, flush it, bad game, flush it. Just every day's a new day to get better.
Real quick, let's go around the room. Pick two games this weekend. What do you think the Rebels' record is this week in these next two games?
With
Arkansas and Kansas State.
Yeah.
You know, 2-0, 1-1, 0-2, what do you think?
1-1.
I'll go 1-1. I'm safe 1-1.
I'm going to go 2-0. I feel like they're going to get hot.
I'm going to say 2-0 because I think we're about to start winning. I think we're going to start winning.
I'm gonna say this, and it kind of hurts, but I think we go 0-2. I think Ole Miss is going to play their heart out, but I think that, you know, we're still trying to build on something. But I think Arkansas is a tough game to win, and Kansas State is a sneaky team.
Yeah, Arkansas won 3 in a row. Maybe LSU, actually.
They could come in and play with reckless abandonment, like you said, and they could either blow us out the water or it could be a close game.
I'm going to say 1-1, and I think there's very real potential to go 2-0 there. I think the Rebels will beat Arkansas on Wednesday because this is an Arkansas team. Yeah, they're playing better right now. A team that still went and lost to Mississippi State at the hump a few weeks back. Obviously, Ole Miss beat Mississippi State this year. So, I mean, this is a team that, I mean, you know, you have the talent to go out and do it. You've got such great young talent, especially at the guard spots. I think the Rebels can bring Arkansas in and beat them. I think Kansas State is going to be tough on Saturday. The Rebels have not fared very well historically in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. Hope you can get a win, and I think the potential is there to get a win because, like we said, Kansas State's good, but they're not unbeatable, obviously, by any means. So I'm going to say 1-1, but I really think the Rebels could go 2-0.
In all honesty, it matters which Ole Miss team shows up.
I think you're right. Let's move now to football. You know, obviously the big story about the Rebels program right now has been the pursuit of Michael Trigg and Jackson Dart. And a lot of sources are indicating that this one's going to come to a head quickly, especially since they have until essentially Friday to register for courses for the spring. They've got to make a decision soon, and all signs right now are pointing to the Rebels.
He's coming to Ole Miss. Without a shadow of a doubt, in my opinion, I don't have any type of sources or anything, but I just got the feeling. I just got a feeling, and that feeling's
pretty strong.
That he's going to Oklahoma, so I'm fading it because I'm usually wrong. He's coming to Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if this is true, I've heard that the last day to register for classes at Oklahoma was last week. So unless he's already enrolled at Oklahoma, I feel like he's coming to Ole Miss.
Well, the thing about that is, they're if he wanted to go to Oklahoma, they're going to find a way to get him a schedule.
Yeah.
What I'm sort of reading into, we know our head coach here at Ole Miss is a Twitter guy. Mm-hmm. He is a huge Twitter guy. And he posted today on his private jet and his Dior Jordan 1s that are retailing at $6,000. Okay, these are expensive.
Okay, okay, shoehead. Get it on.
Yeah, okay, anyway, he said, headed to get ... Ole Miss football. We know that Dart is out in California right now. So I believe in my mind that he is going out there today to get Dart, and then in the morning it will be breaking at Jackson Dart.
Sources have confirmed that Kiffin is using his one at Haunton visit tonight with Dart.
And I believe he will be an Ole Miss Rebel in the morning. That's my speculation.
I have sources saying that Jackson Dart has signed a lease in Oxford at somewhere.
He just verified me.
Source, trust me, bro. That's it. You heard it first.
I just leaked it.
Thank you for the Sports Hour podcast. We'll see you next week. We're ending off right here, right now.
I'm really excited. I'm excited because Lane's about to get this guy. Mm-hmm. And I think Jackson Dart's commitment, you know, if it does happen, which I hope it does, and I've heard a lot of rumors saying that BYU is not out of the running. BYU is still trying really hard to get him. I think if the commitment doesn't come in the next couple of days, it's very possible he doesn't come here.
Does Luke Altmyer transfer as soon as Dart commits?
I hope not, because I still, unlike some people, I still think that Altmyer can beat out Dart in camp. Dart's great. Dart looked good as a freshman at USC. But we know that Altmyer has all the talent in the world, and we haven't seen these two guys go up against. And I don't think we've seen Altmyer get a fair shot. Yeah, I mean, like we talked about, his Sugar Bowl performance was up and down. But when you're a two-string quarterback, you know, timing's off with your starting receivers. And the Rebels have been not healthy on offense for the entire back half of the season. I'm just not going to rule out Altmyer. Now, if they go in competition, Dart wins, then yeah, I can see Altmyer leaving. But I hope he stays around because I still think he can win the competition.
But the thing is it fair though? Will it be fair though? I don't think it will be. I think Dart, if he comes in, he's going to play. I mean, can we probably
all agree? Listen to this. Lane burned Luke's red shirt, so you have to give him a chance. There's no waiting anymore. You burn his red shirt, he has to try. I think what is going to make Luke make or break him is this competition. I've said this before and I've said it again. If you do not have a competition, you have to have a chance for him to go out and prove himself.
Yeah, but I think it goes back to what Peyton said. Luke needs a fair chance. The two keywords there is fair chance. I don't think Luke has a fair chance if Dart comes in.
I think Lane's looking at it, and Lane is going to say, look, you want the job? Earn it.
Work for it.
I'm going to disagree with you, Grady. Lane Kiffin's job isn't to play the biggest stars. He's trying to win the game. He's going to play the best guy. Whether it's Dart or Altmyer, it doesn't matter. He's going to play the best guy.
And I agree with that. I think Lane has proven time and time again he wants the best people on his field.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree on that.
Look, and one thing I also want to mention about this recruiting saga, you know, obviously we're focusing on Dart for good reason. Quarterback's the most important position in football. Is anybody else almost just as excited about getting Trigg from this deal as Dart? Trigg is a fantastic athlete.
I'm kind of more excited for him than anything because I think that was a big blow to our offense this year, not having a consistent tight end like Bowell. Your Bowell was really good. just I think that tight end presence will be very big.
I am excited for him. What I'm kind of upset about is Casey Kelly, because Casey Kelly showed a lot of like good signs of being really good. Mm-hmm. I think Lane needs to try to convert him to fullback this year, and he needs to play in time, because I think he played really well.
That's a pretty big pickup, I think, for the Rebels.
I think it is. I think that's a really good assistant for Chris Giffen. I think that really is a good
assistant. He'll be lit up for 62 this year.
Yeah.
Very good recruiter, though. I mean, very, very good recruiter over there in Arkansas. And, you know, you go back and watch, obviously, that Ole Miss game is an absolute shootout. And against Alabama, they torched him. But who didn't Bama torch this year at some point? Even torched Georgia in the SEC Championship. Besides that Arkansas secondary looked really good for a good portion of the season, I thought. So I think it's a good hire. I think he's a coach. I think he's a really good recruiter. And a lot of talent's going to be to work with in that secondary this year. Bringing in a lot of transfers, have a lot of young guys like MJ Daniels, who also jumped in the portal for a day and jumped back out. Good to see. I think he's going to be a stud this year.
I think nobody offered him.
I don't you say that. Dude was a 4-star recruit. I had over 15 offers from Power 5 schools. I mean, this is not some rinky-dink kid from, you know, from Macomb, Mississippi, or from whatchamacallit, Tennessee, that we recruited.
Macomb's got some athletes.
Yeah, Macomb does have some athletes.
What about whatchamacallit?
I don't know why I said Macomb. That's why I changed it.
Dudes.
Yeah, I don't know why I said – you know why I said it? Because Ole Miss has a recruit Macomb next year. But anyway, this is a guy with, you know, that flips from Mississippi State to Ole Miss last year. This is a guy that if he jumped in the portal, there would be teams that offered him. And so I don't think that's that. I think he was upset because Buckley recruited him. And I believe that Lane and Chris Giffen sat down and said, look, here's our plan for you this year. Here's who we're looking at hiring. You know, stick around, see the vision. And I think Daniels did, and he decided to stay in.
I agree with that 100%.
We move on to the final thing, and this is a little bit of a fun one. This is for our wrestling enthusiast, Mr. Toby Leach. Royal Rumble is coming up this Saturday, and I don't follow WWE like I used to. But I still do enjoy to watch it at times. I'm probably going to try to watch the Royal Rumble. It's on Saturday this year, correct?
Yes.
And we're going to make predictions, as we know, for the Royal Rumble men's match winner, 30 contestants. Here's betting odds. Let's go ahead and read those out for the people in case you have no idea what we're talking about. Brock Lesnar is betting odds favorite, then Big E, Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre, AJ Styles, The Rock, Omos, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, and Finn Balor. Toby, let's start with you.
I'm a big follower of wrestling. You all know I love pro wrestling. I really do. I think this Royal Rumble is about to be really fun. There's a lot of great matches. I'm really excited for Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar. I'm really excited for Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. But I'm most excited about the Royal Rumble match. This is what I got to say about it. I think Roman Reigns retains against Seth Rollins. And I think the 30th entrant is going to win the Royal Rumble this year. And my prediction is Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I think he comes out and he challenges Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns has really been hinting at it pretty recently. And I think it's time to pull the trigger. Give me The Rock at number 30.
Well, I'm a big WWE fan. Me and Toby have talked about this before, but I'm thinking The Rock. It's just because he's coming in number 30. Most of the time, if you come in 30, you're probably going to win. And he's the most electrifying man in sports. So
you think he's also going to be in the
Well, race? Well, it's not confirmed. It's not confirmed. But I think WWE has really been hinting at it. And I think
he's going to be there.
I think this is the time. Now, I have heard rumors, speculation, that they're pushing this to next year, Rock and Roman. But I think this year, especially coming out of COVID years, you know, you want your WrestleMania to be the big popping moment. I think the Rock.
Here's my hot take on that. If Edge is in there, he probably will win.
Okay.
Edge.
Roman Reigns will reign.
It's
the Royal Rumble.
It's Royal Rumble.
You're picking the one who's going to win the Royal Rumble match. So who do you think is going to win the Royal Rumble match?
Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns is the champion.
Three different match.
Hey, let the man pick his Royal Rumble winner.
Okay. Hey, he's in the betting odds, so.
Well, I mean, there is some rumors that he may drop the title to Seth Rollins. That is possible.
The guy I'm going to pick, I don't even know if he's in it, but I'm picking him. If you put him in a jar of mayonnaise with a little bit of ketchup on top, they look the same. I'm going Sheamus.
Sheamus. Wow, that is a name I have not heard in quite a while.
He won a Royal Rumble once.
He did.
Give me Brock Lesnar.
You think Brock Lesnar? I am going to go with, because, you know, the Rock idea is great. And if they did that, WWE would have a gem on their hands. The problem is that Vince McMahon won't get out of his own way to actually produce things like that. I'm going to go with the predictable option. I'm going to say Drew McIntyre setting up Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre yet again.
I kind of agree with that. I think Drew would be a really good choice. I mean, he won it last year. Won it the WrestleMania. There was nobody in attendance. It was actually 2 years ago he won it, and nobody in attendance.
I think they might give him his big.
Yeah, I think it's time for his moment. And I honestly, you could say Drew can win it, and I would love to see him in a Roman. Him and Roman would be really cool at WrestleMania. Yeah.
But with that, guys, we're at the 50-minute mark. This episode flew by.
It did. I had a lot of fun talking this episode. Especially about wrestling. I'm really excited when we talk about WrestleMania.
Look, we're going to do a special edition just for you, Toby.
Just for me.
But with that, that's about going to wrap us up. But before I go, guys, any hot takes you would like to add before we...
This is a hot take, man. Especially like off how he played last night. I think Josh Allen wins the MVP next year.
Garrett, you have anything to add?
No.
Buzz, anything to add?
I've said it the whole pod. I think Cooper Kupp's the greatest player in the league this year, and the second best player is Jonathan Taylor. I don't think any of the quarterbacks compared to those two guys in the NFL. Cooper Kupp is my MVP this year.
My hot take, Toby severely disagrees with me, but the Saints are about to trade up to the 7th pick with the Giants and draft Corral. The trade will involve Jameis Winston to the Giants.
But Buzz has got something now, he says.
If the Steelers draft Matt Corral, they will win the Super Bowl next year.
Wow. Here's Garrett now. Okay.
This is about to shock everybody in the room.
All right, let's do it.
Ole Miss men's basketball wins the SEC championship this year.
Oh, my gosh. That's flaming.
That is hot.
This is what I want to say about that, Chuck. If the Giants trade number 7, at any point, if they trade number 7, I will shave my head completely.
Wow. We got that on tape.
Got it in 4K.
Look, I'm gonna say two hot takes, both about the NFL. I think that the Steelers draft Malik Willis. It's Malik Willis season in Pittsburgh, baby. And also, you want to hear my shocker? Aaron Rodgers retires. I might make that hot take.
What about Tom Brady? Will Tom Brady retire as well?
No.
Tom Brady stays. Aaron Rodgers retires.
I don't think he likes how the season ended.
Another hot take you could just say is that if we do get baseball, the Cubs are gonna own the Central Division this year.
Okay, that's steaming hot. But another hot take, since you mentioned Malik Willis, I think he'll be the first QB drafted by the Texans.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. We could do a whole hour with that. It's just spouting out things. But we're going to end it off there, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. It's been an interesting one for sure. Hope you enjoy it. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you want to talk about. You can find us on social media at Twitter and Instagram at SportsHourPod. Look there that you can find our links to our to where you can listen to all of our episodes. And like I said, on our posts, leave us comments about what you'd like to hear, what you did like, what you didn't like. We'd love to hear from you guys. But with that, I think that's about going to wrap us up. For Toby Leach, for Garrett King, for Buzz Gardner, for Grady Gardner, and for Chuck Spencer, I'm Peyton Taylor saying so long and God bless.
And get ready to see Garrett jump in the pool in a couple weeks.
Yes, sir.
Naked.
So long, everybody.